Welcome to NatureBacked Podcast, where we are speaking about the green future, and this season also a lot about Web3. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today I'm speaking with Armin Tsakpar from European Web3 Organization. Welcome, Armin, to NatureBacked.
Thank you, Tarmo, for having me.
You're building a company called the European Web3 Organization. Company is probably the wrong word. Organization is a better word. But tell us in a few words, what is a European Web3 Organization?
Well, maybe let me go one step back to get into the point of like why even European Web3 Organization exists. And then from there, we get into the point of like, what is a European Web3 Organization? My background comes from marketing communication. I have a company called The Army Bar with that I started it in the digital marketing agency. I started in New York City, and I opened the office in Milan as well in 2017. Got involved into the crypto world since 2017. We started having our first clients as an agency over there. I got into like learning and make my hands dirty into the crypto world. At the time, the term Web3 was not being used around. My first company in this world in 2018. That we were using the blockchain technology for proof of authenticity, proof of ownership, and secure transfer of ownership. Unfortunately, we were too early to the market at the time. Majority of the companies that we were talking to, mostly Italian luxury brands, they were not able to see the value. And 2019, we had to close the company. 2020, 2021, again, the bull market. Now everybody was talking about the non-fungible tokens that we were talking about in 2018, and it got a sexy abbreviation, NFTs, and everybody now wanted to get into the metaverse. And it became the moment that it was somehow a confirmation that we were on the right track, but not at the right time. Well, it was good for my ego, not good for my bank account. But I managed to put together a new team. Shout out to Mattia, Jack, and Lorenzo. That one of them, Mattia, comes from the VR background, and of course, eventually into the metaverse. Jack, Web3 developer, became a Web3 developer. His last company, they also had a very successful exit. They were part of 500 startups in San Francisco. Lorenzo, also an international lawyer, that comes from the intellectual property, then esports, and eventually Web3. We started building this company, and mostly we saw companies, they either want to have a presence in the metaverse or have an NFT collection. So we prepared some custom design and custom design solution for these clients. For the NFT part, for example, we have our own NFT launchpad and marketplace that we provide to the clients as a white label. For the metaverses, we work with third parties, but we built metaverses, and we even if clients wants to have presence in other metaverse, commercial metaverses like Sandbox or Decentraland, we help them buy a piece of land, create an experience, and connect it to their own metaverse. My Web2 analogy for this is that when you in Web2, you have your website, and then you create your account on a social media and then connect it to your website. You don't own this stuff on social media, but you have access to it. Same thing, change website with your own metaverse, change social media account with a presence in a different metaverse. When you have a land and experience in a platform like Decentraland, you're not the fully owning and have so full control on it, but you can take advantage of the traffic, for example, similar to the Web2 concept of social media. And then more and more, we saw also the education part, it becomes very important. Even a lot of companies that they want to do something about it, they don't even know what they want. They just want to do something in Web3. They just want to launch an NFT collection or be in the metaverse without, why? Because everybody is doing it. So we managed to create a course and a workshop. Shout out to also Filippo Scorza, that one of the experts in the design thinking that helped us to build a process and canvases in this like a custom workshop that we would be able to help companies in a sense that they're able to see how they would be able to create value and real projects in the Web3. And moving forward, business, knock on wood, business is going well. And we reached to a point that more and more we saw a few problems. And problem number one, we saw a lot of brilliant minds in the Web3 world, all over the world, that they're building their different amazing technologies and solutions, but they're building it in silos. They're like very... not in any way or form of shape connected to each other. On the other hand, also we saw that the especially after the scams and a lot of criminal activities, including the famous one FTX that happened, a lot of the regulators, they try to come and regulate and super centralize something that by default is supposed to be decentralized. And a lot of the European citizens in this case, or like in general, the citizens of the world, they don't know what's being regulated and if they're agreeing with that or not. And the third point, which I see that we in Europe, we lost the Web2 war to the Americans and Chinese. We became the secondary market of the big American corporations, Facebook, Amazon, Google. Chinese, they built their own from Baidu, Tencent, and WeChat. We have the, again, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to not lose the Web3 and the blockchain battle to the Americans or Chinese either. We don't have, in Europe, we don't have a lack of resources or talents. So this is enough, but what we're lacking is somehow a collaboration and a point of contact with all of these professionals. Putting all these things together, we reached to a point that we can at least try to be what we wish it would exist at. So we started talking to some accountants, lawyers, and notary, and we filed the documents in Brussels, to a court in Brussels to incorporate a non-for-profit organization, which we called it European Web3 Organization. That also, why Brussels? Because we wanted to focus not on the Italian or Estonian or German or Belgian market, but on the European market, something that is not too small and at the same time not too big that you can't control it. And if you want to be in somehow representing Europe or have access to Europe and at the same time being able to at some point influence the policymakers, the right place to be is Brussels. So that's the reason that we incorporated that in Brussels. We built a course, which we're going across Europe so far. We've been doing this in Rome, in Milan, also through Web Summit in Lisbon, in Barcelona. Hopefully by the end of next month, we will be also in Vienna. We're doing a free course to the public. So far, we've been putting our own time and money into it. And why we're doing the free course in, to the public, the course is called Web3 Made Easy, because we believe education comes before regulation. So European citizens, they have the right to know what is being regulated and if they agree with it or not, or if the policy being proposed by a politician, what might be their intentions. So that's the first part, which is the education part. That's we got to why European Web3 Organization. Now we can get into what is the European Web3 Organization. The second part, which on top of the European tour that we have, within the next few weeks, we're going to have a free ebook and a free canvas from the workshop that I told you, which is called Web3 Business Model Canvas, similar to the business model canvas that some people might be, some of the listeners might be familiar with, but very clear for the Web3 world. These are going to be free resources available to the public. And at the same time, we're building a European ecosystem of Web3 professionals. And going around the around Europe and trying to ask everyone who's interested to join. And the only thing that we're asking all these people to join is one thing. If you're able to, what can you do for the community? That's all. Nothing else. We're not asking for anybody to at this stage at all for giving any money or anything. We didn't even open a bank account for that reason.
You should have at least the crypto wallet, right?
At some point. Hopefully, the idea is by Q2 2023, within the next few months, we will have a European board of 20 members. And that board will decide on any financial transaction is going to be. I wanted to make it as clean as possible and have it like very open to the community, and the community decides. And the idea is to, in a very active and also proactive way, work with the local and also up to the European level policymakers, not only waiting for them to say, you're trying to regulate that, no, we push back on certain stuff, but also proposing some regulations to the policymakers that comes from the professionals across Europe. So these are the aims. This is like why European Web3 Organization exists and what is the European Web3 Organization actually doing.
Tell me, how do you see Europe today positioned against the US and China in the Web3 race?
Well,
you kind of said the opportunity was there, but
no, I hear you. What I see, considering that the whole concept of the Web3 and the decentralization is that power to the people. A very centralized government as CCP, like the Chinese, of course, the CCP is not going to like that. So I think there are going to be heavy regulations and centralization as we see it. So that's an advantage we have over the Chinese. On the American side as well, that also... the innovation is going there, but also they're trying to be very regulating it very much. It's still a gray zone over there. On the other hand, what I see in the last few years, you see a country like Malta, they even created a nickname for themselves, Blockchain Island. A country like Switzerland became the crypto heaven for, and also the crypto valley that they created. We showed in Europe and Estonia, I was about to forget them, one of the most important players over there, with also the new regulations and the auditing process that you guys put into place. And one of the most, well, in my opinion, the most also advanced government that exists in the world right now. So we have these advantages, especially in terms of the regulations and how it can be supportive to the innovation. But the problem is, again, these are very into silos. There is no unique approach and a community that can help each other and learn from each other and propose and suggest things to each other. And of course, the some of the advantages of the American or even Chinese is like the huge market that everybody speaks the same language and more or less the same regulation, maybe on a state to state changes, but on the federal level in America is the same kind of a regulation. But then when you come to Europe, we're like so many different cultures, languages, regulations, and we have this, but at the same time that somehow I see we would be able to turn that into an opportunity instead of looking at it as a barrier to growth. So I feel we're in a good position. And this is not a war that we are still, we think that we can definitely win, or we're, well, war maybe not the right terminology, but this is not like a situation that we think that we already won or we're gonna lose it for sure. But we're really well positioned in Europe. The only thing is to how we can collaborate and first as professionals across Europe, and then later on a bottom-up approach, having our government to collaborate with each other.
I think Europe in its fragmentation in a way should be perfect metaphor almost for the decentralized action.
Well put, very well put.
The other question I had, that as you guys are focusing on education to educate people enough before they start to regulate it, I mean, in Europe we are kind of well accustomed to often a little bit too extensive regulation coming from Brussels. Are you afraid they are hurrying again to shut down this emerging industry, or is that risk limited?
If I'm afraid, yes, I'm afraid. If they can do it, yes, they can do it. But am I gonna see the half empty glass? No, I'm gonna fight until I can fight for myself and everybody else who lives in Europe to not lose their individual sovereignty as much as possible. And even if there are people who disagree with me, which I had this situation, I'm fighting for your individual sovereignty as well.
The European Web Free organization, it's not that old an organization. How has the traction been? How are the companies signing up, or how eagerly they're signing up?
So we actually formally created the European Web3 organization in November 2022. And then it was like Christmas and then coming back. So we still haven't got a chance to even promote it. And it was not also something that we were planning for years and had a roadmap and like a budget or anything. It just comes, it felt the right thing to do, and we put into it whatever we were able to, from any kind of resources, from time to money, or also like I have, like for example, from my marketing agency to, okay, let's create the website. We cover the cost internally. We want to like create some content for the social media. We create it internally. So anything that we were able to put. But hopefully we got some good attractions from companies. Whoever we talk to, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable that the conversion rate of that I have talking to professionals in Europe has been 100% so far. And I'm not saying that we talked to two companies. We've been talking to close to 100 companies. Whoever we talked to within 2 months or so, whoever we talked to, they were just like, oh my God, this is exactly what we feel that was needed. How can I be part of it? What can I do? Which is so satisfying, and it gives me chills that these things become a reality. And as you perfectly know, we're also trying to even have our own, the podcast of European Web3 organization, that we're going to have different hosts. everything super decentralized. Everybody needs to be feel that it's a part of it. The idea is like, what can we do for you as the European Web3 organization, and what can you do for the community of the Web3 professionals in Europe?
So joining is free.
Everything is free.
So, you know, Google for the European Web3 organization and sign up your company today when you're listening this or while you're listening this is probably the
EuropeanWeb3.org.
EuropeanWeb3.org. Makes sense. Good. What are the kind of the coming plans for the 2023? You said that you're setting up the board for the organization. Is there any kind of, I don't know, events or the launch events planned or scheduled already?
So far, what we are trying to do, we partnered with an organization called Talent Garden, that they have 26 campuses across Europe. It's co-working in a space and educational platform. And they've been supportive of the idea of the organization, and they are giving us the spaces that they have across Europe for their to organize these free public educations that we have. They give us the event hall, they organize an event and invite the local community, provide some snack, and we're going to these places to create, like, have these like courses. This has been very helpful. Here I have to give a shout out to Alessandro Braga, the chief digital officer of Talent Garden, that believed in the idea as well. And so we're going end up we did that in Barcelona, in Talent Garden in Barcelona, Vienna. We're going to be in Talent Garden in Vienna, which it's a partnership with they did with Pioneers there. We're going to be in also in Copenhagen with them. They've been also over there partner with Rainmaking. I will be in Tallinn in May also for NFT Tallinn. We also partnered with them. Sander over there, shout out to Sander. I'm gonna be one of the speakers myself. European Web3 organization is gonna have a booth, and thanks to them, they also provide some free tickets for the European Web3 organization. Have an eye on the LinkedIn page of European Web3 organization to have a chance to get your hands on those tickets. We also something that for me especially was very interesting, that the Vatican, one of the most centralized organization in the world, also they appreciated the approach that we have, and for the World Youth Day, which is a biannual activity that they do every 2 years, this year is going to be in Lisbon, they invited me also and the European Web3 organization. I will be one of the speakers, and with my other company that I have with Mattia Lorenzo and Jack, we would also take that event into the metaverse as well. So I'm happy that even such organizations, they're seeing value and they try to spread the word.
It's really cool, the idea. I mean, the Catholic Church and Metaverse, that's quite amazing. I mean, I think they probably claim that they were original creators of the Metaverse.
Yeah, like, I can't believe, like, the meetings I had in the Vatican. It's still for me, especially I'm not a Christian. So just being able to have that like experience being in the Vatican and explain to these cardinals and they're being open to it, listening to asking certain questions. It was a fascinating experience, and I can't wait for end of July. If anybody also of the listeners think end of July, they're going to be in Lisbon or online following the World Youth Day, you're going to also see European Web3 organization all over the place there as well.
Oh, that's that sounds quite amazing.
Cheers.
With kind of the early days of Web3 organization, what's your, I don't know, ambition level with it, or where would you like to Web3 organization to be maybe in a few years' time?
The idea is to the European Web3 organization, from the educational part, becomes the trusted partner for also universities or institutions across Europe, that somehow the courses being certified by the European Web3 organization, that becomes kind of like a very valuable course, that rather than not being certified by that. So that's one. The second would be having a local country and some big cities as well across Europe, having local communities and meetups and annual meetings, and being able to spread the free knowledge as much as possible. And the last one would be on the policy, the policies that may impact the life of an everyday citizen in an active and proactive way, European Web3 organization on a national level for each country, and also on the European level by the European Union, being like a trusted source also for the governments, that these are the professionals, that they have the best intentions. There is no hierarchy. It's a European board that can also, obviously, it's going to change, and it's going to be very democratic. And if we want to do something that or put a regulation, or like if there is a problem, we know that these people, they have the best intention and the knowledge to advise us on certain regulations. These are the three things. If we manage to do that, I think like I'm gonna be the happiest person alive.
Fantastic. To be happiest person alive, that should be everyone's target, also among the listeners. I think it's a good point to wrap up. Is there anything else you definitely think we should tell to the listeners? Or
The only thing is that if you really wish something exists, try to make it, even if you fail. Even if you think that you don't have the all the resources and the capabilities to do it, you would be surprised the moment you start moving a needle, how amazing a lot of people out of nowhere, they come with the same vision, they try to help you. If you have a good intention in heart and put in the work, the universe will reward you.
Thanks, Armin. That's a good wrap up. And thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you for having me.
Electric Acid. Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.